Dive in. I'm talking today about a movement of grace, that centering prayer is a movement of grace. Actually, if you remember, in the early sessions we spoke about centering prayer is just a method which is meant to lead to contemplative prayer, which is when you're experiencing God's presence. Contemplative prayer isn't a term familiar to evangelicals, but it's got kind of 17 centuries of history, 18 centuries of history in the church. And the idea was, it's the deepest form of prayer. It's the form of prayer where you just in this connection with God, and there isn't a need for words because you've reached what the ultimate goal of all prayer is anyway, which is to connect with God. So there's nothing to talk about. And so centering prayer is a method that's aimed at getting us into that space. And that opportunity to be in God's presence like that is a movement of grace. It's sheer grace. It's what the gospel's all about. So just to tell you where we are, we did 8 weeks describing centering prayer, explaining it, learning it, and now we're doing a couple of weeks of, you could call it enhancements or add-ons or a richer meaning to what the sacred word really means. Sacred word is a prayer. It's saying, God, I could sense your presence and action in my life. But you could be saying more in that prayer. There is more that you're crying out for in that prayer. And last week, we said, I rest in you is also part of the sacred word. This week, what we're doing is you're saying, I receive your grace, Jesus. I receive your grace, God. And we'll learn that these things are actually all the same. Thomas Keating says that grace is the presence and action of Christ at every moment of our lives. And so the one thing about grace is it doesn't operate by itself. You have to receive it. You have to, I mean, sometimes it does operate by itself. It's when God found you. And there's actually probably hundreds of times in our lives, thousands, when he keeps us out of trouble, or he loves us when we didn't deserve it. But to press more deeply into the heart of God, you have to be able to accept and receive that grace. And that's really what today's session's about. And I think it's going to be a blessing to you. So, resting in God's presence relies heavily on grace. You need to know that you're accepted. You need to know that you're loved. You need to know that God is kind. And so you'll grow in it. None of us start out with that great knowledge of grace and love, but it's a key thing to press into. I think one of the most beautiful things about grace is this idea. It's realizing that God is giving himself to you all the time. And you meant to receive what he's giving. If you think about the greatest event in human history, which was Christ's sacrifice, Christ's death, and his resurrection, that was the ultimate picture of God giving. But it didn't stop there. That's what's so awesome. That giving continues to this day. And every time we take communion, every time we remember the crucifixion, we remember that God is giving. He's giving to his children. It's my daughter's birthday today. And I'm going to go from here, and I'm going to go and get her favorite smoothie at a place called Nectar. And then I'm going to give her presents. And it's what I want to do. It's all I want to do for her, you know. even though she's a teenager now, and Bob, you know what, they're not probably not all the easiest, but and that, you know, just a million times more is what God's attitude is towards us all the time. So the acceptance of grace leads to an increase of God's presence. That's really my point. Every time you accept grace, something frees up in here, and there's an increase in God's presence. And silence is the most intimate moment when this is tested. So let me give you an example. Early days for me in centering prayer, I don't know, maybe it was 1 month in. And it was maybe one of my first moments of just, I'd call it naked silence. It just felt so real. It felt like God is here and I'm here and I'm silent. I'm not trying to say something. I'm not trying to do something. I'm not trying to work something up. And it felt pretty awkward, actually. I felt naked, and there was something in me that felt I need to do this. But I stayed silent, and I know that in that moment something shifted, because I just realized it's all about what He does. And I'm okay. I'm okay here right now in His presence. So there's a part of the false self. There's a part of fallen human nature that wants to earn it. And we guys here, just guys on this call today, it's especially true for us, because it's part of the ego. And so that is a barrier to accepting the lavish, gracious love of God. So centering prayer is going to take you to those places where you're going to feel, you know, this doesn't feel right, or it's not working for me. But it's because inside of you there's something trying to push, something trying to earn, something trying to do. So that's the very simple concept I want to share. In a way, that's it. Except I want to arm you this week with a couple of verses and thoughts about grace to meditate on. Just to back up, I think you guys may know this, and Alan, I don't know if we've discussed it before, but there's been this practice, I don't know if it's for 15 centuries or more or slightly less, called Lectio Divina, which was a way of reading the scriptures that led to contemplation. So it was a four-step process, and particularly the Benedictine monks, this was a foundational thing. When I went to meditate on that retreat in Snowmass, Colorado, we were invited, if we wanted to join the monks' daily routines. And we did some. And every morning there's Lectio Divina. And what it literally means is divine listening, or listening to God. And it means taking a scripture and even a short one. Like Thomas Keating says, you could just take the word help, and something from God. And then you think about it. And then you pray it back to God, and then you rest, meaning you just like enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes off that. So it really is another enhancement to centering prayer if you do take a scripture, if you do take a thought, you meditate on it, and then you move into the time of contemplation. And so what I'm going to leave you guys here is seven thoughts about grace with seven verses. And maybe you want to use that this week as you, before you move into your 20-minute time, that you reflect and you meditate on these. Welcome, Neil. I see you've joined. We're talking about the theme today is receiving grace, which is part of the sacred word. When you expand the sacred word to mean, last week we said to say, I rest in you. Now we're talking about expanding the sacred word to mean, I receive your grace. Because there's something very deep inside our fallen nature that wants to earn it. But on the contrary, God is always giving. And every time we receive something that he freely gives, more of the Holy Spirit breaks loose in our lives. And so seven things about grace. Number one, grace is the ultimate act of God giving himself to us. Romans 5 verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But the beautiful thing about that is Christ's death and resurrection was once off, but God's giving to us is not once off. It's continuous. It's new every morning. It's like the sun comes up and God gives and he loves. Secondly, grace is the reason for righteousness. Romans 5:17. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through Christ Jesus? The great secret to mastering life, to reigning in life, is to know that you're righteous, is to know that you're okay with God. But that comes because of this abundant provision of grace. Thirdly, grace can only be received, never earned. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And if you'll allow me on that one, just to back up a bit, I used to be a Bible school teacher, and I loved the simple understanding that the whole book of Romans was written to show people that righteousness comes purely by grace through faith. But the whole book of Galatians takes it further. That was written to show that not only righteousness and basic salvation comes by grace, but also growth in God comes purely by grace. And so that's why in Galatians, Paul rebukes the Galatians and he says, you're foolish because you began the right way. You began by grace. But now you think that you'll get more of the Holy Spirit by observing the law. And I throw my hands up in the air. He says, you foolish Galatians. What's interesting is he had harder words for the Galatians than he ever did for the Corinthians. And the Corinthians were the ones that had immorality going on, divisiveness. But the Galatians were the ones that really frightened him, because they were moving away from the heart of God, from the essence of grace, of the fact that God gives and you can't earn it. And the Galatians, where they were going, beginning in grace and having righteousness and becoming children of God, but then moving to the law, that is the root cause problem of everything that's bad about religion. We said right at the beginning, there's something about human nature, especially us men, that feel we've got to earn it. The bad part of religion is when you see that in systems and churches. Is, yeah, come in, Christ died for you, but do this and this and this and this and this. And if you do that, you'll get more of God. So, this is not true. Fourth point. Grace is the reason we have the Holy Spirit. And I'll continue that Galatians story. Galatians 3 verse 5. Well, actually, just the first five verses. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, deceived you? It's a deception to think you can get anything from God other than by grace. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Meaning, I've shown you how much God gave, and all you have to do is receive it. I would like to learn just one thing from you, rhetorical question. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? So, you know, there's this massive world of what we can receive. Miracles, the Holy Spirit, so much of it. And really, the biggest barrier we face is that we feel we need to earn it. And a lot of the religious systems we are in create programs that imply that we can earn it. So grace is the reason that we have the Holy Spirit. Number five, grace is the reason that we're loved. 1 Timothy 1 verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Grace is, incidentally, the reason you can believe, but it's also the reason that He loves you. Number six, grace turns the biggest failures into a beautiful life. Ephesians 5 verse 8, one day I was sitting in a plane, I think flying to London, and I was meditating on this verse, and it just, boom, struck me. Paul says, though I am the least of all of God's people, yet grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I don't think Paul was just kind of being insincere and using flowery speech when he said, I'm the least of all of God's people. I think he really thought that, because it says, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Like, I'm the slave trader, John Newton. I'm the guy that used to kill people. My life's the biggest mess, but grace. And it made him the greatest apostle in the Bible. And so, that's the beauty of grace for us. So listen, all, what is it, six, five of us here on this call are pretty successful. We've made progress in God. But what part of our false self feels that we are earning it successfully, look at me, or need to still earn it? And really, the point of today is to allow the Lord to take you in centering prayer deeper, where you say, I receive your grace. I receive your grace. I'm the least. But you're making my life beautiful, and I'm loved, and I have your Holy Spirit, and I'm righteous. Number seven, grace is the reason we can rest. And that's what we're doing in centering prayer. We're resting. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 has obviously a much more meaning. Paul says, or Christ said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And in a way, I mean, his weakness he was talking about there was, he was, as you guys know, he was being tormented, and he asked, I feel terrible, deliver me from this. And God said, no, you're fine in the middle of this. But in the same way, when you sit there, and you contribute nothing, and You've got thoughts coming at you that feel dark. His grace is sufficient for you. Just stay. His power is made perfect in your weakness. So that's the point for today. Thomas Keating writes, he said, human effort invites grace. Whatever degree of divine union we may reach bears no proportion to our effort. It is the sheer gift of divine love.